Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Deanne Penn at United Nations headquarters in New York. Coming up in this week's program, an activist discusses progress since the adoption of a UN resolution on women, peace and security, and ending the epidemic of violence against women in the Solomon Islands. But first, when it comes to growing their businesses, women entrepreneurs are looking for opportunities, not waiting for handouts, according to an official with the UN Industrial Development Organization, UNIDO. Adot Kilmeya Oleche, chief of UNIDO's Institute for Capacity Development, was speaking after a panel discussion on women in industry held in Bahrain this week as part of the World Entrepreneurs Investment Forum. During the event, women business owners from across the globe shared the struggles they are facing, ranging from a lack of access to capital and technology to stigma and social barriers. Vibhu Mishra attended the forum and caught up with Ms. Kilmeya Oleche after the panel discussion.
That panel was extremely important because it brought together the significance of policy for women entrepreneurs. And as you know, women entrepreneurs are perhaps at the end of the value chain, so to speak, when it comes to not just employment, but access to knowledge, access to technology, as well as access to the basic things you need to do a business.
What were the key messages that you heard?
The key messages actually came from the floor, from young women entrepreneurs, as well as some experienced ones. The young ladies mostly mentioned stigma, the whole problem of mindset, and how, because they're women, creates special barriers in the way they're approached, in the way their projects are treated. And this is an important message for policy because it has to be taken into account. We all have stereotypes and we have to find ways to walk out of our stereotypes and be objective. A second message was in terms of just access to basic resources, particularly finance, they felt was important, and training. But the third message for me, which I found extremely important, is that the women are not helpless. They all follow their dreams. They work to their hardest to achieve their business goals. And I think that's an opportunity for all policymakers, for investors, for people who own technology, to realize that they're not waiting for handouts. They're looking for opportunities, and an opportunity is not a handout.
What is UNIDO doing to help overcome these challenges?
UNIDO works in many different dimensions. We intervene at a policy level where we work with governments to help them formulate and reform policy to adapt it to suit the conditions in the country and to suit the objectives they seek to achieve. We also work with institutions within those countries because it's the institutions that drive the change, that support the policy implementation. And at the third level, that's the enterprise level or the individual level, we work within technical cooperation projects to strengthen the capabilities of entrepreneurs and of their enterprises, factories, or if they're even smaller, the undertakings they have.
It is time to acknowledge the value women bring in peace negotiations and society as a whole, a veteran activist has said. Joy Ada Onyeso, vice president of the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, was at UN headquarters recently for a Security Council meeting marking 17 years since the adoption of a resolution aimed at increasing women's participation in efforts to prevent and resolve conflict. Ms. Onyeso told Natalie Hutchison that women are taking charge of Security Council Resolution 1325 and will use it to continue pressing for gender equality. She began by outlining the impact armed conflict has on women.
From loss of livelihood to trafficking to sexual violence. Let's not forget that we live in a patriarchal society with gender stereotypes, gender division of labor. And so for so many women that have not been prepared to be heads of households, suddenly violent conflicts occur and they are quickly transited into a situation where they have to fend for the family in addition to all the other traditional roles that they perform. It's confusing, it's conflicting, but at the same time, it provides opportunities for women to transform the gender dynamics, promote their meaningful and substantive participation in the process, and that's where their skills as the other half of the human population come into being.
What are some of the key contributions women make in conflict resolution and prevention?
The world is made up of two kinds of population. We have the male and the female. And then you have only one side making all the decisions. We are not saying that women bring better ideas. I'm not an advocate of that, but women bring substantive ideas to the table. When you wear the gender lens, you see that the way women perceive and do things on the ground is different from the way men do it. And when you have both working as partners in building the society, then you can really resolve conflicts.
What are some of the biggest challenges in getting women more involved when it comes to peacekeeping and conflict prevention?
I wouldn't say capacity. I won't start with capacity, but I will start with even the acknowledgement of the role of women. Because we need to get to the point where the society acknowledges the value and the capacity of women. And then the second one is women's enhanced capacity. Because they've been denied the performance of these roles for a long time, you can't, in most cases, compare the capacity they bring to the table. When we talk about the role women play, we need to look at all the multiple levels women exist in. So we also need to look at the discrimination, the exclusion that women have been facing. And so most times their capacity are not as enhanced because they've not been given the opportunity, not necessarily that they don't have the capacity.
The epidemic of violence against women in the Solomon Islands can be stopped, and the whole Pacific region is already taking proactive steps. That's the view of Yannick Lamarck, Deputy Chief of UN Women, the world body's gender agency. The Deputy Executive Director for Policy recently returned from a visit to the remote Pacific Island nation, where nearly one in four women has suffered some form of sexual violence before they reach the age of 15. Mr. Glemarek said that Uganda's successful community-based SASA scheme to prevent violence against women and children was being adapted and scaled up across the Pacific. He talked to Matt Wells back at UN headquarters about the trip and why it was important to see conditions there for himself.
The Solomon Island is actually a success story when it comes to moving out of a period of conflict to a new peace and stability period. As you might know, they had some serious internal conflict from 1999 to 2003. And I wanted to know where we stood regarding our peace and security program. We had had a joint program with UNDP and we were designing the next one. I had the opportunity to discuss with a number of peace mediators, those who had gone from village to village in 2003 to basically disarm people. And this was a high opener about the fact that these people have done a tremendous work, but that it's extremely important to continue supporting the transition process.
So there must be a wide array of challenges facing women in the Solomon Islands.
Besides peace and security, unfortunately, the Solomon Islands, like most other Pacific states, suffer from an extremely high rate of violence against women, double of the world average. We are speaking about almost 70%. If I can use the statistics, which is quite shocking, 37% of women in Solomon Island do report to have suffered some form of sexual violence before the age of 15. It's basically, it's a true epidemic. It's something that affects almost everybody. And here again, the Pacific region has taken some very proactive steps to address it. At least 11 of the 14 countries that are covered by UN Women Multi-Country Office have now a law criminalizing violence against women. And that is critical.
So how can UN Women and the UN in general help change this permissive culture of violence?
The good news is that it can be changed. Eliminating violence against women does not have to be an intergenerational issue. We know that with methodologies such as, for example, SASA, that was piloted first in Uganda, you can prevent violence. SASA in Uganda basically had, in some places, more than a 30% reduction in the rate of violence against women. And so what we are doing in the Pacific is to adapt the SASA methodology to the Pacific context and to scale it up. There, the idea is to basically reduce violence against women by addressing social norms, engaging community leaders, engaging men and boys, engaging faith leaders, and promoting women in sport. And therefore, all the different levers that we know works when it comes to changing social norms.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Deanne Penn.